whatever you have to access the Word of God. If you're visiting, wave at me. If you're visiting, visitors, wave. Okay, we got some in the house. All right, good. Give our visitors a hand clap. All right, say it with your heart. Say, this is God's Word. Not Pastor Edmund's Word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your power. As I step back, I thank you for the anointing of God stepping up to feed every person and every couple in this room spiritual manna for their lives. I pray in the name of Jesus that our hearts are open and our minds will be receptive to what you have to say. And I thank you that today we will absorb your word like sponges absorb water. And I thank you for signs, miracles, and wonders to take place in our relationships as we hear the word, receive the word, believe the word, and activate the word. And it's in Jesus' mighty name. Can everybody say amen, amen? Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So we're in our fourth and our final week of our relationship series. So can you give Pastor Sharp a big hand clap? Because he did a great job last week, didn't he? Where's Pastor Sharp? Stand up, Pastor Sharp, so they can just see. Yes. He did an amazing job last week. Pastor Sharp is one of the, he's actually the only teaching pastor that we have on staff. And so, there are going to be times when I'm not here that he's going to teach. And so last week he did a great job. If you're visiting us today and you didn't know it, this service is actually for married people. Now, if you're single and you're sitting in this service, then just learn what you can learn and then sit through the next service, all right? So let me just say this to our married couples. I believe today's message, if your heart is open, not just receive it with your head, but receive it with your heart. Because I believe if you'll receive the word, your marriage will never be the same. So our topic this morning is having a kingdom marriage mindset. Having a kingdom marriage mindset. When you and I, when we got saved as individuals and as we got saved as couples, or the Bible calls it born again, there is a spiritual transfer. Say spiritual transfer. There's a spiritual transfer that took place, and you and I spiritually change kingdoms. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, and I'm going to actually teach you today, and I'm going to give, hopefully, an illustration that will help you receive what I'm teaching and understand it better. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Watch verse 13. Who, this God, has delivered us from the power of what? Of darkness. And he's translated us where? Into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, let me read that in the New Living Translations. But I want you to notice before I read it, two kingdoms were mentioned here. Watch it in the New Living Translation. It says, always thanking the Father, he has enabled you, he has enabled me and us to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light, verse 13. For he, God, through Christ Jesus, he has rescued us from the what? Kingdom of darkness, and he's transferred us into the kingdom of his what? Of his dear son. And then his son purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. But I want you to notice that there were two kingdoms that were mentioned. And the first kingdom that was mentioned refers to the kingdom of darkness. Now, the King James uses the word power. The New Living Translation used the word kingdom, but it used the word power in the King James. And that word power means jurisdiction. It means physical and mental influence. In other words, Jesus has delivered us from the jurisdiction of the devil. He's also delivered us from the physical and mental influence of the devil. And then that word also means authority. Now, let me show you this word again in Luke chapter 4, and then we're going to jump into the lesson. It says, and the devil took Jesus up to a high mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. How in the world did he do that? He did that in his thinking. He did that by giving him a thought. He did that by giving him a picture, a mental picture. Verse 6, and the devil said to him, all this power, that's the word there, all this power, that means physical and mental influence and authority. This is Jesus, the devil talking to Jesus. He says, all this authority, this mental and physical influence that I have, I will give it to you and the glory of it because it was delivered to me. So I want you to notice that the devil is offering something to Jesus that was given to him. Notice now he says, and whoever, because it's been delivered to me, then whoever I want to give it to, I can. And this is why we can't look at how the world seemed to be prospering, because we don't know who has sold their souls to the devil. Because he can give this stuff to anybody he pleases. I want you to notice the kicker here. Verse 7, if you will worship me, all of what I have will be yours. So listen, the devil gives things to people as long as they worship him, right? But I want you to notice is that he offered Jesus something. He says, I'll give you this power if you will worship me. So the devil has power. Everybody say the devil has power. The devil has power, but we read in Colossians that Jesus has delivered us from that power. Amen. Listen to this one more time. Luke chapter 10, I'm reading now another way that we can see the word power. It says, and the 70 returned again with joy, talking about the disciples. Even the devils, they said to the Lord, are subject to your name. And then it says in verse 18, he said to them, behold, Satan has fallen like lightning from heaven. And behold, this is Jesus talking, I give you what? Power. I give you what? Now, that word power is different than the power that the devil used when he was talking to Jesus. This word power that Jesus is using is the word authority. It doesn't just mean power. He says, behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over how much? All. How much? So you and I shouldn't be afraid of the devil because we have all power and authority over him. He says, behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power. That word power is that word force and ability. So what Jesus was saying is he's given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And then he says, and nothing shall by any means harm you. So when we go back to read Colossians, because I'm going somewhere, when we go back to reread Colossians 1, he says for us to give thanks to the Father who has made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. When you look up that word delivered, it means rescued and to draw one to oneself. So you and I have been spiritually removed and rescued from the devil. So here's the question that I have as I jump into this. So if we've been spiritually rescued from the devil, spiritually delivered from the devil, how can the devil still have influence in our marriage? So just look at your spouse and just look at him and say, I hope he tells us. So here's our first point if you're taking notes today. Our first point is your spirit. This is how the devil can get influence in our marriages. Your spirit is new, but your soul must be renewed. See, when it comes to marriage, when we got married, we all entered marriage with whatever knowledge and whatever experience and whatever ideologies we had prior to salvation. Now, the word ideology means a set of beliefs and values. So we all came into the marriage with some beliefs and some values that happened or we received before we received Christ. Amen. So these ideologies, these beliefs, these are things that we had about marriage, and we brought them in consciously or unconsciously. Here's a take-home statement, and then I'm going to illustrate something. Here's a take-home statement. What you value, you will pattern. See, a lot of us learn what marriage was through movies. You know, you see the perfect movie, looks like they had no arguments or everything was fine and they lived happily ever after. That's not real, right? Or we learn marriage from mama them. And that's a whole different set of things. No telling what you saw growing up, right? So we've learned our values of marriage has come through things that had nothing to do with Christ. And so watch this. So this is what our minds look like. Watch this. This is what our minds look like before Christ. And this is what our minds look like after Christ. See, the only thing that became new was your spirit. Your soul, which is your mind, your will, your thoughts and how you feel, that part of you did not change when you got saved. So watch this. So whatever you thought about marriage before you got saved, let's see what some of these thoughts are. Some of y'all got married knowing you're going to get a divorce. Why? Because mama got divorced. Grandmama got divorced. That's all you know. You just giving it a shot. Here's another one. What is this? Lost. You know, listen, these days in the social media streets, it's a disadvantage to get married because men are like, why should I get married and lose half of my stuff? Well, the problem is you expect to lose before you even start. Here's one. Abuse. Because all some of y'all saw was daddy beat up on mama. Amen. He ain't here. You can say amen. Here's some of y'all. You know, you saw mommy and daddy fight. And so you saw mama not talk to daddy for a whole week. Look at your neighbor. Look at your spouse and say, I think he talking about your mama right now. Some of you, when you, listen, what you brought into marriage was the perception of pain. Because every person in your family who got married, that's all you saw happen to them. I'm talking about stuff that we brought into the relationship before it even started. Screaming, because that's how some of y'all resolve problems. Let me see if I can see who this one belonged to right here. I did this one for last. You ready? Cheating is normal. Some of y'all really don't think you can just be married and not cheat. And that's why the person being cheated on allows a person to cheat because cheating to them is normal. Now, what's my point in saying all that? This is the filter. This is our mind and how most people was thinking before Christ. But I want you to understand, this is the same way you was thinking after Christ. Because, listen, just because you received Jesus Christ doesn't mean your mind gets clear. Amen. So, all the information about marriage, whether it was good, whether it was bad, whether it was realistic or unrealistic, it was in our souls before we got saved, and it stayed in our souls after we got married. So instead of functioning now from the mindset of a kingdom marriage, which is built on the truth, everybody say the truth. See, the kingdom marriage is built on the truth. Most of us, we function from the mindset of our truth. Well, what's our truth? This right here. This is our truth right here. We're not functioning from the truth. We're functioning from our truth. Can I say this? Your truth don't matter. See, because when you function from just your truth, then we function, watch this, in our marriage from convenience and not conviction. Because it's convenient to think a certain way. It's convenient. In other words, what I'm saying is it's easier to accept what you already know than it is to change, which actually forces you to grow. And your mind, touch your spouse and say he's talking about your mind right now. Your mind will always take the route of least resistance. So here's the question. What needs to happen for us to start functioning at a kingdom marriage level? Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. I'm going to try to illustrate this too. I want you to walk home or leave here today with how your mind looks. Because see, your mind is where you think. How many agree to that? Okay, so some of our minds stink. We have stinking thinking. Romans 12, 1. He says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. How can a sacrifice live if it's supposed to be dead? Because when you sacrifice something, it dies, right? Well, a living sacrifice is when you and I, we are alive, we just don't let our flesh get its way. He says, behold, a living sacrifice, or our body is a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Watch verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. And when you do that, you'll be able to prove what is good and acceptable and what the perfect will of God is. So the first thing I want you to notice is the order of those two verses. The first verse told us that we need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Amen. So here's a take-home statement that I want you to take home with you. Before fruit can be displayed, death has to take place. In other words, he's saying, I need you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Why? Because nothing in the kingdom grows until it dies. Did you hear that? See, your marriage cannot grow until somebody dies. Okay, listen to John chapter 12, verse 24. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and what? Dies, then it abides alone. But if it dies, it will bring forth much fruit. He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. Listen to the ERV translation, easier to read version. It is a fact that a grain of wheat must fall to the ground and die before it can grow and produce much more wheat. If it never dies, it will never be more than a single seed. If both people stay alive in the marriage will not produce fruit. Verse 25, whoever loves the life that they have now will lose it, but whoever is willing to give their life in this world shall keep it. They will have eternal life. So if you want a kingdom marriage, everybody say kingdom marriage. If you want a kingdom marriage, you have to die. And then he says, now after you die and present yourself as a living sacrifice, then verse 2 comes up and says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, so now we have what a filter should look like when it's clean. Now, here's what's good about this. When your filter is like this, your air condition has to work harder. It's going to work harder because the air trying to get through to produce cool air or heating for you, it's hard being pushed through because there's so much dirt that's on the filter. It makes it difficult, watch this now, for the air, for the word, to come through. So this is what a new filter should look like. Now here's what's interesting. I brought this on purpose. This right here is a filter as well. Notice the size is different. Okay? At my house, we have three units. Our house has three different units, three different ACs, right? And up the filters look like this. Now, I went up because I can't remember how long ago it was, but I asked one of the AC people to replace my filters for me. When I got up there, this is the filter he had put in the place of this. Because when your thinking is wrong, it can't handle kingdom ways of thinking. See, when you think like this, that's when divorce is okay. When you think like this, this is why cheating is okay. When you think like this, this is what makes you feel like, oh, well, I don't have to tell her everything. And here's the problem. This is what we got saved with right here. So what most people try to do, watch this, because the new filter comes with a kingdom marriage. A kingdom marriage produces what? Faithfulness. Why? Because one of the fruits of the Spirit is faith or faithfulness. Here's another one. What's that one? Commitment. Uh-huh. What's the next one? Covenant. Uh-huh. Not a contract. What's the next one? Selflessness. Here's the problem. Okay. If y'all don't get anything, get this right here. This is what we try to do as Christians because we know that our minds need to be renewed. But this is how we try to do it. We try to put this on top of this. So now, this is what it looks like. This, how many know this is a mess right here? This is why you're schizophrenic. One minute you love him, the next minute you want to kill him. Now, it's because you are trying to put the fruit on top of the flesh. The flesh has to die. If the flesh doesn't die, listen, it will spoil fruit. Say amen to what I'm saying. Now here's the even bigger part. Here's the bigger part. Because if this is what the new filter looks like, here's the question. How do we, as born-again believers that got our spirits saved, but our minds, our soul stayed the same, how do I get my soul from here to here? So just look at somebody and say, it's not automatic. Which now brings us to now point number two. I need to hurry up. Point number two. Here's point number two. Are y'all getting something? Here's point number two. Because here's the question. How do we go from having a dirty filter mindset regarding our marriage to get to a clean one? Point number two. We will stay conformed if we remain uninformed. Okay, Romans 12:2, let's go back to it. He says, and be not conformed to the world. Well, what's the world? The Bible says all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, all these different things that we listed on that dirty filter, that's the way the world thinks. He says, be not conformed to the world. But the only way what's going to happen is you have to be transformed by the renewing, notice that's continual, of your mind. Everybody say renewing. Notice that a transformed life comes with a renewed or transformed mind. So how does the renewal take place? Let me give you the definition of renewing, and then I'm going to show you. Renewing means to completely change for the better. It means to renovate. So if you think about a home, if you're in real estate, sometimes they take these old houses, they tear them down, and then they renovate them. Watch this. It's the same house, but they've upgraded it or they've renovated it, watch this, with new material. They didn't put new material on top of the old material. See, that's what this is right here. And the only reason this happens, your first step is you haven't died yet. So if my mind needs to be transformed, and it didn't come that way because it didn't, the only thing that will clean, listen now, that will clean my filter, my mind, is the word. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. I'm reading out of the King James Version. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ has also loved the church. Most people stop that verse right there. You need to love your wife like Christ loved the church. Well, what does that mean? Well, the next verse tells us he loves the church because he sanctifies it and he cleanses it, read it with me, with the washing of the water by the what? By the word. And when he washes the church, his bride, with the water of his word, then he's able to present it to himself, a glorious church that doesn't have a spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Now, when you look up that word washing, it means to take a bath. And this is why a lot of our thinking stinks, because we don't bathe our mind. So look at somebody else and look at them and tell them, your mind stinks, I smell it. No, no, no. We have thousands, probably millions of Christians who are trying to put fruit on flesh. They haven't died. So that means the way they think, the core of it is still worldly ways. And then the bad part of it is they're not bathing their mind. Y'all remember back in the day, floppy disk? How many remember floppy disk? Let me see. Ooh, I got the old crowd today, don't I? How many remember the reel-to-reels? You know, my dad, he was a so-called DJ, right? And he had his stuff on reel-to-reel, right? Well, your mind must be upgraded. It can't stay on a floppy disk. It can't stay on reel-to-reel. You got to upgrade your thinking and your mind to the kingdom way. You have to now connect to the cloud. You know, that's where most information is stored these days. You know, I don't store a lot of my stuff now on a hard drive, because if the computer crashes, all my stuff is gone. But what I do is that I save it to the cloud. And the cloud keeps all my information, right? Well, many of us, our minds have not been upgraded. You say, well, what's the cloud, Pastor? Well, I'm glad you asked me. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1 very quickly. The cloud is where new information can be received and old information can be replaced. Did you hear what I said? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 in the King James, it says this: wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Watch what he says now. Though you know them. See, some of this stuff we teach you, oh, I know that. He said, well, even if you know them, it helps you to be established in present truth. You ain't functioning off reel to reel no more. This ain't no cassette tape generation. He said, no, this is present truth. And then he says, yes, I think it is necessary or proper, as long as I am in this tabernacle, he says, it is my job to stir you up, read it with me, by putting you in remembrance. So watch this. You can't remember what you never remembered. Did you get that? You can't remember what you never remembered. Here's the problem. This is going to stay dirty until first you die. And then what you have to start doing is you have to bring into remembrance what you've remembered. It's the same faith process. It doesn't say faith comes by having heard. That's one time. It says faith comes by what? He said, listen, I'm going to bring you into remembrance. Let me read it in the Amplified. I think it'll do a better version. Because here's the problem. You can't withdraw where you've never made a deposit. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 says, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things. To do what? Remind you of these things. To do what? Remind you of these things. Even though you already know these things. and are established in the truth. Verse 13, he said, but I still think it's right, as long as I'm in this earthly tent, to inspire you by what? Okay, so here we go. Here's a revelation key to this. So repetition is a form of reminding. Are y'all understand what I'm saying? When something is repeated over and over, repetition, how many have to remind your kids to do the same thing you told them yesterday? Same thing. So watch this. So in order for us to be reminded of truth, we must pour in and be washed with the water of the word. So, like I said, all of us, when we got saved, before we got saved, this Dr. Pepper, which, by the way, First Lady likes to drink, this Dr. Pepper represents what your mind looked like before you got saved. Dirty mind. No, this is bad thinking. That's all the things that you thought about marriage before you got married. Now, some of y'all are thinking, well, I thought marriage was positive. You may have, but at the end of the day, the mind you had as an unsaved person, watch this, is the same mind you got when you got saved. So now I have to do something about my dirty mind. I got to wash it. So how did it say Jesus washes his bride? With the water of the what? So now you come to church, and you hear Pastor Evan teach the word, and you just go home, and you heard and be like, oh, okay, that's good. But Paul said, I need to remind you. Because as I remind you, you will stay in present truth. So now it's like, okay, well, he said, I must love my wife as Christ loved the church. I'm putting the water in. My spouse did something I don't like. Well, the scripture says to forgive them, right? The Bible tells us about marriage that God, whom God has joined together, let no man pull asunder. If you notice, slowly the Dr. Pepper is lightening up. See, what's happening is I decided to die. So now I'm pouring water on this filter right here, and I'm pouring this kind of stuff. Agreement. What's the next one right here? Poof and dessert. What's the next one right here? Agape love. See, I'm starting to pour. So that's what happened. He said, okay, all right. The scripture says that I should love. The scripture says, can two walk together unless they be in agreement? I know right now we're going through a challenge, but listen, the point is not who wins the challenge. The point is us agreeing at the end of the challenge. So can two of us walk together unless we're agreement? See, once you start putting enough word in your dirty mind, eventually your mind will look like that clean filter. So now this is what my mind looks like. Okay, so let's close with this. Let's close with this. How do we apply the word today? Because some of you walked in with a dirty mind regarding marriage. This is why you always want to quit when you get into a hard time. Because quitting is part of your dirty filter. You didn't know. You saw everybody else quit. Mama quit. Daddy quit. Grandma quit. Everybody quitting. So you didn't know. Quitting is part. So listen. Uh-oh. Here we go. Why is it that quitting always comes up when you run into difficulty? Because it was a part of your core beliefs and ideologies. You just didn't know it. See, pressure is what brings up what you really believe. So, how do we apply the word today? Number one, we must decide to have a kingdom marriage. Everybody say kingdom marriage. A kingdom marriage. Watch this. How do we do that? By making God's word the final authority in your relationship. You cannot... Most people have not made the word final authority. The stuff that they don't agree with all the way, they'd be like, well, no, I don't agree with that, so I'll agree with this, but I won't agree with that. The problem with that is you're now deciding what you choose to believe about the word, and if you do it that way, the word only works when it's rightly divided. So if you're using the word like an a la carte meal, I'm going to take some of this and I'm going to take some of that. The problem is, it's not going to work for you. So you have to decide to have a kingdom marriage by making God's word final authority. Here's number two. Now, what does final authority look like? Let me give an example. The scripture says that be angry, but sin not. Isn't that what it say? Okay, so it ain't a sin to be mad. It's just a sin to stay mad. He says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. So the moment you let the sun go down on your anger, the moment you do that, you have just stepped into opening the door for dirt to come in. Say amen to that. So what do? You make yourself forgive. It's hard to stay mad and forgive at the same time. Okay? Here's number two. You must renew your mind by reminding yourself what the word says a kingdom marriage is. Here's number three. I got to hurry up. Number three, faith for a kingdom marriage will only come when your ears hear promises of what a kingdom marriage looks like and sounds like. In other words, what I'm saying is, if you want a consistent good marriage, you need to listen to consistent promises about what a kingdom marriage looks like. So what I've done for you, I came up with what I call a kingdom marriage confession. I just came up with this. So First Lady and I, this is going to be one of the things, our confession every day. And I tried to not make it long. Okay? But this is probably the longest some of y'all going to talk anyway. So here is what it looks like. So this is what you're going to do every morning. Say every morning. And you say, let's say they got out of the house before you was able to do it. Then do it over the phone. You do everything else through the phone. You pay bills through the phone. So watch this. So what we're going to do is we're going to read. Can they put it on the screen? Can y'all put it on the screen? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're practicing what you're going to do this week. And this is, you can't look at your spouse and read it at the same time. Okay, so. Just this is what you're going to say. Let's read it together. We confess today that our marriage is a covenant under God, not a contract of convenience. Therefore, we declare that we are of one flesh, joined together by God, and no one or nothing can pull us apart or divide us. We are inseparable because we choose to walk in agreement and conquer division. We choose peace over strife and unity over pride. We are a kingdom marriage and choose to walk in love that is patient and kind, not envious, boastful, rude, or self-seeking. We do not keep records of wrong, but we choose to forgive each other every day. As husband and wife, we choose today to honor one another, submit to one another in reverence to Christ, and reflect his love in our home and marriage. We choose today to use our words to build up and not tear down. We declare that our marriage is fruitful, our love is unshakable, our covenant is unbreakable, because we are rooted in Christ, the solid rock. Today and every day, we walk as one, united in spirit, joined in love, and guided by God's word. Therefore, no weapon formed against our marriage and family will prosper. God's commanded blessing rests on our marriage because we choose to stay spiritually, physically, emotionally, and financially unified in Jesus' name. Amen. Did y'all get something out of the message today? So with every